Hi, I'm James Schillinglaw, and here I am aboard Ponance Le Commandant Charcot. Now, what is Le Commandant Charcot? It's the most state-of-the-art, the newest expedition, luxury expedition cruise vessel around, and we're taking a little test drive of this one, and I'm here with Jonathan Zakaria, who is the expedition leader on board, and he's the one who's going to direct all of the expeditions, and they're really going to focus on two regions, Antarctica, which is up first, and then the Arctic. And we're going to talk about both of those regions and what your clients will get to do if you book them on Ponant on Le Commandant Charcot. You'll find out about all that and more on Insider Travel Report. Now, Jonathan, first of all, it's great to be on board, and I've watched a number of your presentations in French and in English, so I'm listening a little bit. I'm trying to remember my French a little bit. And first of all, let's set the stage here, and you're hearing a little whistling in the background because it's a windy day out there on the North Atlantic, and we are actually in the mudroom. Now, it's not a mudroom, or you know, it's like where you get ready to go on your expedition. It's more like a living room, right?
Yes, in fact, the style of Ponant is to offer a lot of comfort on board, and this is what you can see here, for instance.
Yeah, so we have a beautiful place where you'd be putting on your boots and you have your parkas on and everything else, and over here, you can't see it, but we'll show you, is your boot rack, and you put your boots there, and it all corresponds to your room, and so you get ready for your expedition. Now, let's talk a little bit about Antarctica is coming up first. I believe you're going to start in November. What exactly is the experience that your guests here on Le Commandant Charcot will be getting once they reach there?
Yes, so the first thing to understand is that this ship on which we are traveling now is extremely strong, is so powerful that we will be able to go where no other ships cannot go. And so the total experience and the scenery and the landscape will be completely unknown to anyone.
So this is, you're going to places where others can't because of your polar class. So you are a PC2. I think a large number of expedition ships these days are PC6. And the higher closer is, you get lower. The lower you are, the better and stronger you are to get through the ice, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Actually, we are now, the atom icebreaker, but on the regular.
That's a Russian atomic icebreaker, so you're just a notch below them, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So this is the ship on which we are now is the most powerful ice-class ship with regular fuel. So we are using gas here, but except the atom power, we are on the strongest ice-class vessel in the world.
And you are actually using liquid natural gas here, too. Some bigger ships have started to use it, but you have it, and I think you can fuel up for about 2 months, right?
Yes, even a bit more. I don't know exactly the length, but we are self-sufficient for quite a certain amount of time, for sure. And this is an innovation. That's the only ice class vessel that run with gas and battery also.
Yeah, no, so we saw the engines and it's pretty impressive. They're not too far away from here. All right, so you can go places. Where are the places that you can go that the others can't?
Yeah, so for instance, we're going to start with the Antarctic Peninsula, where we'll start in a few weeks from now, and we'll be able to go very far south. We'll start our journey in November. November is the end of winter time, the start of summer, where you still have a lot of sea ice, and while in a regular cruise you would be stopped by the sea ice, here we will be able to go further south. And what is pretty amazing that we will go to places where none of our captain, none of our guide, neither myself, we have never been, not even the passengers. And that's really, really something. That's something that is going to be new.
You're prepared. You're ready to go places that you'll be exploring too, right?
Exactly. So for those who know quite well the Antarctic Peninsula from the South Shetland Island to Margaret Bay, this is an area that we know quite well, although Margaret Bay is not very often visited, just in some years where at the end of the season the sea ice has had time to clear up a little bit to allow ships to come in. But this time with that ship we'll be able to go to these places even with 100% of sea ice coverage. Of course we'll take care of going to places where we judge we can do it because we are our own police. So we do everything not to disturb the wildlife and the seals that can be on the sea ice. We will penetrate between ice floes and do everything not to break fast ice. That is the layer of ice which is connected to land. We don't go through it. Right. That's for environmental purpose, of course. But as long as you have open drift ice or very close drift ice until you cannot see water anymore, we can reach these places. So we will be... The goal is to do things that we have never done, to explore new islands, new possibilities, and we've had the chance to test all our equipment for this new way of operation on a dry run, on a test trip to the North Pole a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we'll talk about that one a bit, because this is an amazing story that you got to hear. How long will you be down there? And you're doing a lot of cruises, but how many days is the typical guest going to be in Antarctica?
So the length of the trip on board Charcot will be longer than usual. Regularly, I would say that trip lasts between 8 days and 10 to 12 days. The first trip will run this season will last 18 days. Wow. The second one, 12 days. So that's going to be something that will allow us to take time to explore. And so that these voyages are, I would say, for those who have a very strong spirit of exploration.
Now, once you're down there, what are guests going to be able to do? What activities do you have for them?
So regarding activities, we will have the regular the regular activities we offer to our guests on all our other ships, talking about Zodiac cruising, regular landing, and as extra here, we will offer kayaking in the marginal zone, which is where we have open drift ice.
Is like double kayaks, ocean kayaks, right?
Yes, these are ocean kayak, double with a hard plastic chin and spray skirt and all the gear to be dry. And we'll offer snowshoe on the sea ice, snowshoe on land, where we have a lot of snow at the start of the season, and some hikes also on the sea ice. So these are all, I would say, the options we have to offer to our guests. And also on the sea ice, we have specific tools to test the quality of the sea ice to offer long hikes and walk away from
where you won't fall through the ice, right?
Yes, exactly. And these tools have been designed by Greenlandic people just for us, and it looks like a long chisel we used to scout for the sea ice. And with that ship, so we'll have also another options to go out when we do not have water to put Zodiac down or kayak down. That's to take out the gangway and go straight onto the sea ice from a side gangway.
That's amazing. You just go right straight through, right?
Yes, because from the side gate, and we are here on deck 3 at the place where we will go out to embark either Zodiacs or to go down on the sea ice directly from the ship, but just at this place where it's going to happen. Well, from here, just the door behind, you will see through the side door just ice and no water at all. You will see the sea ice.
You walk right down on the ice.
Yes, exactly. So that's something.
That's amazing. Now, how many times a day do they go out? Do you go out on expeditions when you're typically down there? Like, how many times will the guests get to go out on the ice or kayaking or whatever they want to do?
So I need to consider that for this kind of voyages aboard Charcot is going to be very different than the regular way of operations with all other ships, because we go further away, so we'll take time to navigate remote places. We have a bit more sea days, a bit more days navigating just through the ice with a ship to find the right spot where I can stay a full day to really enjoy a full day of activity at the same place.
So you'll be right there and that'll be it. So yeah, and you are on land, you can be on land, you'll be on ice, but there's also obviously a lot of land in Antarctica too, right?
Yes, exactly. So you can perform regular activity like we would do around the Antarctic Peninsula with being at anchor beside an island or the coastline of Antarctica and reach the coast by Zodiacs, or it can be in a place where close to an island you need to walk on the sea ice to reach an island. So it depends on the conditions we'll meet there.
Now, what kind of wildlife will your guests see down there?
Of course, we'll have a few species of penguins.
A lot of them, right.
Which is very appreciated by our guests. By going further south also, we'll have, I hope, and this is one of my wish, to have opportunities to see emperor penguins hanging around. We know the places.
Are those the really big ones?
Yeah, these are the tallest penguins of the 20, the around 19 species we have.
And one someone of said it's like 4 feet, they're 4 feet tall or something.
Yes, exactly. So that's 4 feet tall for 80 pounds. So these are, as we say, usually big birds. Mm-hmm. We'll have also seals in November. That's a very specific month because that's the end of the breeding cycle of the seals. So I'm talking about crab eater seals, Weddell seals, and other species. So I hope to see also mother and puppies. The puppies are almost as big as the mother, and just nursing the puppies on the sea ice. I hope to see this kind of wonders that the nature offers to us. A lot of birds also, like gulls, skuas, and during navigation through the water, the open ocean, you can still see whales and stop the ship for observing whales, sometimes orcas in the Jolar Strait if we go there. So that's really something which is not scheduled or planned on day-by-day basis.
Let's see what's coming up.
Right. Yes, it is very important to understand that on such a trip, there is a day of departure with a place on the map, a day of arrival with maybe the same place on the map if this is the same harbor or another harbor, but everything in between is made on a day-by-day basis depending on the weather and the sea ice conditions and what we want to offer. That's very important.
Well, it sounds marvelous. And so you're there from November to when, March? When are you in?
Yeah, exactly. So I will open the season. I will stay a month aboard. That will be my pleasure to be leading this very first trip on the Charcot in the Antarctic. And then the team will change every month for every 2 months to keep the good energy to be fresh. And we'll start on 1st of November with two trips. The west coast of the Antarctic Peninsula, we'll go very far south to the Bellingshausen Sea. And the second trip, at the end of November, we'll focus on the Weddell Sea.
So, all right, so that's Antarctica. So then in March, you head north, and I mean north. You just flip totally the other side of the world to the Arctic. And you're going to be, not only the Arctic and the North Pole, but I think understand cruises of, is it the Northeast or the Northwest Passage you're going to do?
Yes, so in the Arctic, we'll open the season. I will be also very happy to open this season on Charcot, visiting the Northeast coast of Greenland. Right. So I know the east coast of Greenland very well. Usually we go there in September, end of August, where the coast is cleared of ice. But this time, with such a strong ship, we can visit that island ahead of time at the start of summer in May and June. So that's going to be, for me, a fantastic way to see other landscape of the same places I know very well, but with other kind of fauna and ice situations. After this, northeast Greenland, the ship will go 3 or 4 times to the North Pole.
Well, that's the big thing. I mean, everybody talks, they're going to the Arctic, they're going to North Pole, but I think this is the only ship that can really get there, right?
Yes, you don't have...
Except for the Russian, I should say, icebreaker.
Yeah, the Russian icebreaker is very powerful. This is not a passenger vessel. This is what we call an icebreaker. It is designed to break ice, to open a way to other ships behind, to supply all the harbors of Siberia during winter time. So during summer, this ship is not very useful for the Russian government, and for that reason, they allow some company to charter the vessel and bring passengers to the North Pole. Here, you are on board the only ice class vessel, which is extremely strong to navigate through ice. This is unique, and that option allow us to bring passengers safely to the geographic North Pole, 90 degrees north. So we plan to do that. I don't remember exactly the schedule, but 3 or 4 times.
I think I heard it was 4 times you'll be going to the North Pole. So you're doing Greenland, parts of Greenland. You'll do 4 cruises up to the North Pole, and then anything else?
And then, yes, and then I'll ask to be leading a trip on the North West Passage.
So that's across Canada.
Yeah, exactly. So we start with Greenland, the Baffin Sea, then Nunavut, and then we'll end up in Alaska.
Wow, that's an amazing, all amazing stuff. And if you didn't think that this ship had experience going to the North Pole, well, it's already been. And that's the surprise here. It was a surprise to me. Just a few weeks ago, I believe, this ship made the trek up to the North Pole. And tell us a little bit about, because you were on that. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that. It was not, there were not passengers. It was a scientific study, and just to see if you could do it the first time. What was that like? How long was this cruise?
So it was for us, for this test voyage, a 3 week trip. So we started from Norway, then we reached what will be the departure for our guest, which is Longyearbyen in Spitsbergen. That's going to enable to have a shorter trip for them. That's going to be around 10 to 12 days.
So it's only about 600 some miles, I think.
Exactly, right? That's 634 miles.
No, oh, there you go. Exactly, 635 yes. Nautical miles.
Nautical miles, yes. And then so from there, you have maybe 1 day, 1.5 day of days at sea, because in summertime, the archipelago of Spitsbergen is not connected to the sea ice of the Arctic Ocean. And after half a day at sea, you start navigating through open drift ice until the drift ice is closing more and more, and you have very close drift ice.
Well, that's the amazing thing. I've seen photos, and hopefully we'll get some to show you about how the ice closes behind the ship after you go through it. So you're in the middle of white, right?
Yes, exactly. And the role of our captain is to bring us there by following the crack between the ice floes and following leads. You will see a helicopter on the ship that is used for scouting only and helping navigation to find the best possible way, the shortest route, the route that is easier, where you drive sometimes through thin ice rather than thick ice. The goal is to be as fast as we can. If you're fast, you can reach North Pole a little bit earlier. You have less impact on the environment because you burn less fuel. If you navigate through big chunk of ice, first of all, you break the ice. Second, you burn more fuel and you're slower. So by choosing the best route, which is not a straight route, it's not going to be a straight line.
No, sometimes it's zigzagging around the ice floes and trying to find the best, easiest way up.
Yes, so that will be a challenge for our captain. And finally,
well, he did it once. So.
Yeah, we did it once, and we will repeat that again the next years. And then we will take advantage on the way back to make some stops here and there to enjoy activities outside of the ship. And it's quite amazing that on the way north, just following this path that Mother Nature tell us, that we'll have the opportunity to see bears.
Well, that's it. You had some great, incredible shots of polar bears. Yeah. And then whales, I think, does it. So polar bears and whales, that's what you see up there. But amazing. And they were kind of curious about what you were doing there, right?
Yeah, so on the first part of the voyage, when we're in open ocean, we've seen first around the archipelago of Svalbard, 100 of belugas, then we've had a blue whale in open ocean, and then once we enter the pack ice, we've seen a few bears on the marginal zone. Once we were surrounded by 100% of sea ice, I was very happy also to see other bears, and that was the first time for me that I could see bears on the sea ice without any water around. Wow. And I was very happy to see that we've seen 8 different bears, including mother and cubs. So that's a good sign to see that we're not specifically directing the ship to look for them in certain area. You just look around and just randomly, they're just there.
Yeah, so it's a good sign. You said in your presentation, kind of that some came up a little close because they were kind of like, what is this ship? What is this doing here? Because they don't see that. You don't see that often. So any other wildlife? You see the bears, you see the whales, anything else up there? Birds? I don't know.
So once you're very far north, you don't see many birds. A few in the marginal zone, which is the zone between the sea ice and open ocean. A few seals are also hanging around. But once you're extremely far north, it becomes more and more desertic. Animals do not have marine wildlife, do not have a lot of interest in being very far north because you have less crack to breath for whales to take a breath before diving again. Of course, you have less seals that can take advantage of the crack in the ice floes to come up on the sea ice and have a rest. So you have less bears. So that once you reach 88 degrees north, 89, it's very quiet. You don't have much more activity of wildlife. Then on the way back, as you approach the island of Svalbard, you have more wildlife around, more birds in particular.
Now, what was it like when you finally got to the north? That was your first time, I assume, to the North Pole. What was it? I mean, it's just this flat white, and you look at your positioning, and okay, this is the place, right?
Yeah, so I missed twice the opportunity to go to the North Pole on the Russian icebreaker, and I never thought I would have another opportunity again, so I was quite happy. It was something. And it was amazing to see that at the geographic North Pole, so the ship is 400 feet long, and the role of the captain, just for fun, is to put the antenna of the GPS at 90 degrees, 0 minutes, 0 second north, just for one instance. And when we were at this exact position this year, we were between two ice floes in open water. There was really a crack in between. So then we have celebrated the event, and to enjoy more of this event, we've been away 1 or 2 nautical miles to find a good ice floes where we put the gangway out, and we have celebrated the event just a nautical mile away from the geographic North Pole.
You set up a little celebration area, and you sort of, this is the place, even though it wasn't the place, it was a few. Well, and you got to understand, is the difference, and a lot of people don't understand the difference. Antarctica is a landmass. Arctic is pretty much all ice, right?
Yes, so both differences are very simple. In the Great South, in Antarctica, Antarctica is a continent which has the size of the U.S. and Mexico together. It is covered by an ice cap of, in average, 6,000 feet thick, with maximum 10,000 feet. And this ice cap took millions of years to form thanks to snow accumulation. The Arctic is the other way around. That's an ocean surrounded by land, surrounded by 8 countries. And this ocean is freezing during winter and is just melting in summertime. So that's a yearly cycle. Rather, the cycle of Antarctica is a cycle of nature that took millions of years to form millions of years of snow accumulation. So that's the story is a bit different.
Well, some amazing places that your clients can go to on Le Commandant Charcot, Antarctica, the Arctic, the first your clients can go to the North Pole. It is an amazing adventure. Jonathan, I want to thank you for filling us in about that and filling us in about that expedition you've already had up there to see if it works, and it does. And it's something that your clients can experience on one of 4 voyages next summer, next July, I believe. And right now, I just want to put my boots on and go on an expedition. But we're actually in the middle of the Atlantic right now, off the coast of France or Spain. I'm not quite sure, but someday I'll get up there. But again, thank you so much for filling us in on exactly what the experience is here on Le Commandant Charcot in Antarctica and the Arctic.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm James Schellinglaw, and this is Insider Travel Report.